You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jay Horowitz, special edition of Amazing Conversations with Jack Fisher. Jack, I'm honored to have Mr. Jack on the phone. 60 years ago this April, Jack pitched the first game at Shea Stadium, April 17th, 1964. Jack, what do you, no decision, what do you remember about the game?
I look back, Jay, on all the games that that I pitched in, and I probably remember as much about this game as any. I can remember when I first got dressed and walked out on the field and looked out over the right field wall and saw all the people coming from the trains and the subway coming in. It was a herd of people, and it was a beautiful day. And I can remember going out to try to warm up at the beginning of the game. And there were so many reporters on the field, must have been 30 or 40 reporters on. And remember, we used to warm up right in front of the dugout.
Right in front of the, exactly, yes.
And I was afraid I was going to hit somebody. Somebody's going to walk between me and the catcher. So I went over to Casey and I said, "Casey, do you mind if I go out and warm up out in the bullpen?" He said, "I don't see why not. Go ahead."
And that was the first time, right, Jack?
Now everybody does it.
you were a trendsetter. So you go 6 2/3 innings. Pirates get a run in the ninth inning to win, 4-3. Pretty good lineup today. Clemente, Stargell, Bill Mazeroski for the Pirates.
Yeah, everybody talks about I gave up the first home run there, Stargell. Nobody mentions that the first strikeout was Roberto Clemente. I like
that's
that.
That's pretty good first strikeout.
Yeah. Ed Bauda lost the game.
50,000 people in the stands. And the World's Fair had just opened too, right, Jack? So it must have been a pretty exciting time around Shea Stadium then.
It was.
Did you guys get a chance to go to the World's Fair much with the plane? How did that work out?
They made a special occasion for us to go over, anybody that wanted to come. And I brought my family along and we went over, and it was great because they ushered us right up at the front of all the lines and we got through. And we saw quite a bit of the World's Fair just that one day.
Just one day. I mean, did you go back a lot or not really?
Not really. And I don't think I ever went back.
Jack, tell me about Casey Stengel. You hear all the stuff about him, this buffoon, this guy, but the more and more people I speak to, that was kind of a charade to protect his players. That he was a pretty intelligent guy.
He was. When he got you one-on-one, there was no doubt that, you understood what he was talking about. Casey was great for me. He really was. I mean, what else could you ask for to get the ball every 4 days? And he gave me the ball every 4 days.
Not to pick up a bad record, let me preface it. So I spoke to Roger Craig a couple of times before he passed, and I think you tied him in 65 or 24 losses. But Roger always said to me, the manager had a lot of faith in you to keep running you out there all those times, despite the losses. Is that how you looked at it too?
Well, even though I had all those losses, I thought that I kept us in most of the games. If we could have just gotten a few more a run or two, we would have been a lot better off in those games. I think my run average is in the threes.
In that year, you go 8-24. You pitched 253 2/3 innings, 252 hits, and the ERA was below 4. That's amazing. That's amazing stats.
You just try to, give your team a chance to win a ball game. That's the starting pitcher's job.
Even through your career, Jack, I mean, you pitch for a lot of bad Met teams. In the 4 years you were there, I think the team played winning percentage was 36%. Your ERA was right around 4. And, you had to be proud of what you did with a lot of great teams, huh?
Well, it just seemed, when I came up with Baltimore, it just seemed like, and we had a decent team at Baltimore, but I had a little, I was one of those guys that when you pitch, you know, you better shut out the other team or only give up one run or you're going to get the loss. And I had a lot of 1-0, 2-1 losses in my life. I can remember actually thinking back with the Mets, I remember going on a road trip one time, went into San Francisco and I drew Juan Marichal. And I lost the game in the bottom of the 9th inning, 1-0. We go to Los Angeles. I draw Koufax. We go into the bottom of the 9th. I lose 1-0. And we went into Houston, and a guy by the name of Don Nottebart started for him. He was just a spot starter. And I lost that game 1-0 in the bottom of the 9th inning. Wow. So I lost three straight games 1-0.
Your stats really don't belie how well you pitched. You mentioned Koufax. It was a game in 65. If I hope my information is correct, you got a save for Tugger McGraw, and it was the first Mets win over Koufax.
Right. I remember that well because actually when I would talk to Tug after we were out of baseball and we would meet someplace, and that's the first thing he would always come up to me and say, that was the biggest game of my life. He said, you saved the biggest game of my life.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tell me, what was it like, you know, after the first year or two with Shea Stadium? You pitched at the Polo Grounds with the Giants, right? I mean, how was it pitching in Shea the whole first year? Even though the team wasn't great, there was a lot of, you know, support from the fans.
Oh, it was. I mean, we were... we had the greatest fans in the world. I mean, if we won a game, it was a big thing. And they really let you know that they appreciated it. And even when you come off the field, you know, after the seventh or eighth inning, and you always got a standing ovation. They were the greatest fans in the world. And I thought it was as far as the stadium was concerned, I thought it was a very fair ballpark. I mean, there was no bloop home runs hit there. You had to hit the ball good. But I thought the fences were at the right spots.
Well, what we were going to say, when you pitched for the Giants, you played with Willie Mays, right? What do you remember about playing with Willie?
Willie, he was... First of all, he was so talented. There wasn't anything that he couldn't do on a baseball field. And he also loved the game. So, I mean, you put those combinations together and you've got a great ball player, which, of course, he was a very great ball player. It was a pleasure to see him every day play. Yeah.
So you get traded after the 67 season to the White Sox. We kidded around. Even though you weren't there in 69, you were a big part of the Mets, Miracle Mets, because you were traded for Al Weiss and the great Tommy Agee.
Yes, I know very well.
Yeah.
I understand the trade was that the Mets offered either me or Don Cardwell, and they chose me instead of Cardi. So.
Do you ever look back and say, you know, like you were, I you know, like your the teams weren't great, and then 2 years after you left, they win the world championship. You ever look back and say, what could have, should have, would have happened?
Oh,
maybe?
God. All the time. Well, actually, when I was traded over to the White Sox, they had gone to the championship the year before. And I thought, hey, I've got a real good chance here. And I go, we ended up start out under Eddie Stanky, and we lost the first 10 games of the year. It was kind of a miserable season there.
You know, quirking our schedule this year, Jack, we play the Pirates on April 17th. So it'll be 60 years to the day. We'll hope to do something to commemorate that day. But I mean, that's something you have in your memory back, right? The pretty awesome thing, pitch the first game in Shea Stadium.
I definitely, like I say, I remember that game as much as I did any game I ever pitched. Maybe even my first win in the big leagues was, I remember much more about the Shea Stadium game than I did that game.
Do people remember, you know, do you get ever getting letters or people realize that you did?
I still get fan mail. Oh, yes.
Okay, are you 60 years later? You still
60
get fan
years
mail?
Later. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a spry 24-year-old then.
Yeah, you know, but in addition to your baseball background, you were a great football player, Jack. One of my heroes I looked up, you beat in a high school game, the great Fran Tarkington. Oh, who used to be a Viking, but then a John Cornyn. We beat him 7-0 in a championship game, right?
Right, yeah. It wasn't a championship game. It was a regular season game. We went on and won the state championship. But I did play against, I quarterbacked against him, and we ended up winning, I think, 7-0, you say.
Yeah.
And I also pitched against him. In American Legion baseball, he was a shortstop.
Yeah, he was a hell of a quarterback. I'm a big football Giant fan, and he came to the Giants reeling around. We was with the Vikings and stuff like that.
Yeah, very nice guy too.
Yeah, Jack, what do you remember about your Met teammates? You stay in touch with them and all? Any of the guys you played with back then?
Well, probably the guy that I stayed in touch with the most was Tracy Stallard, till he passed away. And I still, Ed Crane pool, and I get a call once in a while from Ron Swoboda.
Yeah.
So you and Tracy
Stallard have a lot in common, right?
Yeah, Maris home runs.
But yeah, you were 60 and he was 61, right?
Right, right.
Well, you know what? If you can go into the history, but why not give up a historic home run like that, right? I mean,
like the old story goes, somebody's got to do it. I just happened to be there.
Hey. Looking back, Chuck, your time in New York was great. I mean, you know, even though there was a lot of winning, the fans and the whole stuff was good for you.
I probably enjoyed myself there as much as I play in any place, even with losing those games, mainly because I was given the ball to pitch. I was given the ball every 4 days, and I did most of my. With the other clubs, I didn't get the ball every 4 days. So I appreciated the stint that I had with the Mets.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Did you overlap with Roger Craig at all? I forget. I mean,
No, Roger was never on the team when I...
Yeah, I mean, he always told me, you know, he said, I'm proud of getting all, you know, so plus all your complete games. I think you had, you know, you average 10, 12 complete games a year. That doesn't happen anymore, right?
I think I've got, 65 or something like that.
Yeah.
And, we're not going to be 65 complete games for a career for a long time, probably.
Do you
Unless
follow
they change.
Do you follow the game much, Jack, these days?
Absolutely. I get the baseball channel, and I get all the games. I probably missed maybe two Met games all year.
Right. You still have the affiliation, huh? You still...
Yep. They're my team.
What's a man always doing? Hey, another guy, I know you're in Eastern Pennsylvania right now, right? I mean,
right.
Larry Holmes was from your hometown.
Larry Holmes, yeah.
You used to run him in all before.
Well, when I had my sports bar, he would come in there, and yeah, I knew Larry.
Yeah, he was a hell of a champion. But we're in a good spot now, Jack, with our new ownership. We there's a feeling about the past, to honor the past. We would like to do every year, pick out a couple of moments. Like this moment would be great. I mean, to have hopefully get you down here on April 17th, you know, 60 years to the day, you know, you pitched here. Another guy I wanted to speak to too is the great Ron Hunt, who was our first All-Star that year.
Right.
What do you remember about Ron getting hit by pitches?
Well, I tell you, he would get up on top of that plate and he just wouldn't budge. And a pitch came inside, he just lifted his arm up and it hit him in the ribs. But he got on base for us.
Jack, what do you think about the new rules now? The runner on second base and the pitchers don't hit. I mean, do you like
well,
that?
Obviously, I like to swing the bat. I didn't swing it very well. I think my lifetime average is something like 125 or something like that. But I enjoyed the challenge going up there. I could bunt, and we did a lot of bunting back there, which they don't do today.
No, not at all. Jack, aside from the first game, any other favorite Met games you want to recount for me? A long time ago. Any one or two that you remember?
Well, I can remember after Casey was gone and Wes Westrum was the manager, yeah. And of course, he was when I was with the Giants, Wes was the coach out at the Giants, and he came to work for the Mets as a first base coach. And I think he's the one who recommended that the Mets get me over there. And so we were very close. And I remember pitching a game in Philadelphia. And it was a tie score in the bottom of the eighth inning. And I think it was 1-1 or 2-2. And they got the bases loaded and nobody out against me. And here comes Wes out to take me out of the game. And I met him at the foul line before he could make a motion. And I said, you know, Wes, our bullpen's not the greatest right now. I said, you know, if you take me out of this game, we're going to lose it. I've got a guy coming up that I have pretty good luck with. Their next hitter. I said, I think I might even be able to strike him out. And then the next guy, I'll get him to hit a ground ball. I said, I think that's the best way for us to go. And he kind of shook his head. He said, okay. And he turned around and walked out and left me on the mound. And I did strike out Darren Johnson for the first out. And Cookie Rojas hit a ground ball, one hopper right back to me. Home to first, and we got out of the double play.
Did you win a game?
In the top of the ninth, we scored a run. And I thought, man, I got a chance. In the bottom of the ninth, we brought in that bullpen that was going to come in for me. Lost the game, too. They scored two off of them. So I just saved myself a loss.
Yeah. Jack, you mentioned briefly, tell me about Tug McGraw. I got to know him a little bit. Was he as flaky as people say he was? I mean, was he a little different kind of guy in a nice way?
In a very nice way. He was fun to be around. Always had a laugh on his a smile on his face. Laughed a lot, and a pretty good screwball he had.
Yeah, he did. He was a good guy.
Real good guy. Good being around him.
It's been a pleasure. It was an honor speaking to you and. I hope to get you back to City in April so we talk again about 60 years ago your start opening up Shea Stadium. And it's an honor to speak to you and, take care and we'll speak soon.
Okay, babe.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks for calling.